On the podcast today, we have Caitlin Gordon from Dell Technologies. We've worked with Caitlin over the years for a long, long time, going all the way back to Data Domain almost 10 years ago. She's great. She's got a lot to say about the new PowerStore array that was released this week, and she's also got some thoughts on Brady and Gronk going to Tampa Bay. So we'll cover off on all of that and more in this podcast. Joining us on the podcast today, we have Caitlin Gordon, VP of Marketing at Dell EMC, the storage part. Caitlin, thanks for joining in today.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of big news going on. I want to get your take on it. Tommy went to Tampa Bay. What's up with that?
I can't talk about that without a cocktail. It's just too sad. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
It's 3:10. What's the problem with the cocktail hour?
I would agree, but no one told me, and I cannot get to it without walking away. So
okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Sadly, mine's still coffee. Okay, but can we talk about Gronk, or is that non grata as well?
I mean, traitors around the horn. I can't take it. But as far as I know, there's no sports right now anyway, so I'm just pretending it never happened.
Is the gist in the Boston area that it's painful? I mean, everyone knew Tommy was going to go somewhere, but the Gronk was the icing on the cake.
I mean, that was like salt in wound. My husband is in mourning still. He cannot handle it.
Well, everyone's here for the hot sports talk, but we'll disappoint them all and talk mid-range storage. So you were with EMC before the merger, acquisition, however you want to frame it. So you've been in storage for a very long time. In fact, the first thing we worked with you on was Data Domain way back when. Seems like a long time ago.
It was.
And and the portfolio, as the two companies have come together, clearly had to, I don't know, what do you call it? Gets more streamlined thinner than
the... it. We had to simplify.
Okay. Well, because the two companies combined, I don't need to list them all, but there had to have been close to 8 or 10 storage platforms across the two companies.
Depending on what you're counting, yep, you could get to that number for sure.
All right. So some of that combination had already happened. Equalogic had sort of gone away. And so you were down to Unity. You had SC storage. Of course, we had some of the other products on the unstructured side with Isilon and some of the other things. With PowerStore now, could you just sort of summarize where the company is in terms of mid-range and then maybe just the overall storage portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking about this since we came together. And it's an exciting time with PowerStore. I mean, we've had PowerMax as our lead in the high end for a couple years now. We've had PowerVault in the entry space. Mid-range is the big opportunity we had to simplify. So PowerStore is officially now in our primary storage portfolio, our lead all-flash mid-range solution. It is really built to compete and win in that part of the market. That does mean that Unity XT is actually our lead all-flash mid-range solution in primary storage as well. So we've really got now our leading portfolio from a primary storage perspective with PowerStore joining this week.
And just as a point of clarification then, so Extreme.io and SC storage, from a hardware perspective, I assume those are end of life. Well, I don't know if that's the right word, but you'll do software updates maybe. What's the future for those guys?
Yeah, well, you know this, right? And as do we from years of selling storage arrays, there's one thing about data centers is transitions don't happen quickly. So We have not end-of-lifed SC series or Extreme.io. We've not announced an end-of-life there. When we do, it'll be a long support life to them. But we know these transitions take our customers a lot of time. So we're making sure that we're conscious of that. So not only have we not end-of-life those products, but we've built in natively in PowerStore shipping already capabilities to make that migration seamless from no matter what platform that you're moving from. Obviously, a lot of people use host-based solutions as well, but we wanted to ensure that we dedicated and innovated around making that transition seamless and that they can do it on their time as well.
Well, you've got a, I know it was somewhere north, I know we wrote about it, a 10-click migration path for most of your current, yeah, the almost all your current storage solutions to get over to PowerStore, which is neat. I mean, that's...
Fewer than 10. So oh. I want credit for every step.
Maybe there. 9, maybe 8. Could
be. You'll never know until you try.
Could be anything. So I know you guys are excited about a lot of things with PowerStore. One of the things I think is really interesting and unique, and why don't we start with apps on? What is that and why is that important to the strategy going forward?
Yeah, apps on is probably the coolest feature of PowerStore. So what we've done with PowerStore is it's a container-based architecture, which fundamentally makes sense from an architecture standpoint. It is a modular software architecture. We're innovating on the container level. We're able to innovate faster. But what's even more interesting about that is that we can actually now take the entire PowerStore OS and run it in a VM. So we abstract that from the purpose-built hardware, onboard our favorite hypervisor, VMware ESXi, and then we're able to really not only run the PowerStore OS on the appliance, but we can run applications on board as well. So you can natively serve external capacity for hosts and run a handful of specialized applications directly on board PowerStore. It is the only purpose-built array in the industry that has VMware ESXi built in.
Yeah, so help us understand that, because it's one of the things we really liked about Unity, or Kevin liked really, from the lab perspective, is he felt like that was one of the best arrays that he had ever worked with that just slotted in and sort of slid into the VMware environment with very little trouble or operator interaction in terms of its ability to be discovered and immediately start interacting. This is one step further where you're running it native on the box. And you know, I hesitated to call it hyperconverged because you don't want all workloads on here, and I understand that that's different. But maybe educate the listeners a little bit more about what exactly that means in terms of the VMware integration and how that works on PowerStore.
Yeah, and obviously we have a lot of experience here with VxRail leading the HCI market. And what we built with VxRail is we essentially took compute and we virtualized storage and brought it into compute. What we've done with PowerStore is we've taken storage and we've brought compute on board. So really, if you look at the two architectures, they're highly complementary. We also know that HCI is very often already deployed with three-tier architecture because of the different requirements and different types of workloads. So if you look at what we are going to be able to do with the combination of VxRail serving those compute-intensive workloads, and then we'll have PowerStore be able to serve those storage-intensive or data-intensive workloads, and then you can have VMware really be that control plane across the data center and even out to edge or cloud, it really enables you to leverage that right architecture for the right workload, but not have to compromise that simplicity that you're really looking for by investing in VMware as that control plane.
So when you think about the capability of the apps, you talked a little bit just about edge, and we talk a lot about analytics at the edge and how data sometimes is too heavy to move back to the core to be able to do these things, or you need real-time analytics done, and there's no time to send the data back and process it and send it back to the edge. How, because this is a really interesting, we see a lot of HCI for the edge, but we don't see a lot of storage really pushed for the edge. How much of this is the new architecture to give you that flexibility, and how much of it is just because you could, because there's a, is there really that, help us understand the demand at the edge for something like this.
Yeah, and I'll clarify. Well, I think there's absolutely demand both from an edge and a data center perspective when you look at what we're trying to do and help customers modernize, simplify, reduce footprint. From an edge perspective specifically, I'll clarify that it's really what we are calling business edge or your near edge, which we used to call robo, but that doesn't sound as cool. so now we want to call it.
No, Edge is way cooler.
Edgier, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it's, if you look at what those locations are, they have small footprints, they have small resources, IT resources, but that doesn't mean they don't still have the requirements for the response time for their workloads. They don't have the efficiency that they need out of those systems and the need to make that IT stack as small as possible. And with apps on in PowerStore, you can have up to 70% lower footprint. And at these business edge locations, footprint comes at a premium. And often you need a single resource to manage the entire infrastructure there. So whether that's a compute-centric architecture like HCI or a storage-centric architecture like PowerStore is going to really depend on the workload and what you've standardized on at the core data center. But you can get all of the same tenants and benefits. It really is going to depend on what that workload is.
So as you think about these units distributed out at the edge, is there, maybe there's not anything new, but when you think about management where there might not be a lot of IT resources to deploy and manage these things, how are you guys thinking about that as part of the ecosystem? If we think about, you know, again, limited IT resources at the edge, do you have some thoughts on where that happens or benefits there in terms of managing from the home office or home data center?
Yeah, it's, I think there's really two pieces to that. One of them is the fact that even you running those analytics at the edge means you don't have to move all of that data across the wire. You can just send back that data, and the being able to simply just use native array-based replication to get that data across makes things really simple. I think the other piece that as we look at this, especially from a remote management and monitoring perspective, is Cloud IQ is something that's really important that we've developed for customers. And it's available, it comes with PowerStore, comes with all of our major storage platforms. And we announced this week as well, it'll be coming across the entire Dell infrastructure portfolio as well. And if you look at the value that that can bring, Cloud IQ is all about using those predictive analytics, being able to quickly diagnose issues, troubleshoot, stay ahead of issues, but you can do it all remotely, either from a web browser or from a mobile phone. And not only can a customer do it themselves, but either or a Dell EMC rep or channel partner can be a trusted advisor within that environment and also be part of that monitoring. I think that's a really important piece of what we all need to be thinking about of how we can help really keep better, wider view on across all of sites and all of infrastructure to stay ahead of things and really be able to remediate quickly without even having to go on site necessarily.
Yeah, that's you're right. I think that's a big important piece of it, that there are lots of tools to be using, but Cloud IQ, I know we've used it before with Unity and found it, the data it bubbles up is really useful. And in fact, it's probably gotten a lot better since we took a look at it. One of the other things, and we only have it as a little side note in our coverage, I'd love to dive into this a little bit more. One of the things you guys are talking about is machine learning engine in terms of optimizing performance and perhaps data placement and other things. And I actually just had a podcast with David Tuohy over at Intel, and we were talking dual port Optane. I know you're supporting that as well in this system. And he was really excited about what you guys are doing from an ML perspective. Can you tell us any more about what you're doing there?
Yeah, and it comes back to one of the most important design decisions in PowerStore. So pretty rare as a Fortune 500 company, you actually get to build something and you get a clean sheet to just design that how you want. And when we looked at what we wanted this to be, we knew obviously it would scale up, but more importantly that it would scale out. But what we've seen is that when you scale out and you have the ability to independently scale your compute and your capacity, we had to do that in a way that did two things. One, met a price point that the vast majority of our customers could meet. But two, we implemented it in a way that would be very simple to use. And that's where that AI, or more specifically the machine learning built into PowerStore, is so important. It starts from when you add an appliance to a cluster, it automatically discovers that, and it makes a recommendation about how you can better balance data across that cluster now that you have two appliances. And as you scale it out and over time, as new workloads come and go, It's continuously monitoring the data on the system and can make those recommendations for placing data in the best place across the cluster, so that you're always making the best use of those resources, but you're not having to worry about even thinking about keeping track of that. The machine is doing all of that for you and simply making that recommendation so that you can stay on top of it, but you don't have to invest any of the day-to-day resources and having to really keep an eye on it.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts about SC storage was the data progression in terms of how it intelligently managed data and moved it around. It sounds like this is somewhat similar, albeit new, shinier and fresher in terms of the ML technology that goes into it. This is more than hot and cold blocks, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, certainly one of the fun things about building this with the portfolio we already had is we kind of got to make a stew of all of the best ingredients we already had. It's like we wanted the tenets of that type of architecture we had in SC. We wanted the tenets of the performance and the efficiency in Xtreme.io, the simplicity that we already had in Unity. And we saw all of those, and that's what we really were looking for. Is certainly we had some IP here and there that we could use, containerize and put in there, like with the file stack. But if you look at the core tenets of each platform and what our customers loved about each one, we're able to take those, build them mostly from the ground up, but take the same concepts and bring them in this new modern platform. So you will see little thumbprints that look kind of like what we've had in other arrays, but purposely designed to bring and really be built for this new data era, as we are calling it.
You know, it's funny because we started this out talking about football, and I neglected to even mention that PowerStore is built from maybe not quite zero, but started fresh, right? This is a new thing. It's not as if you took one of the other products and smashed it together with SC or Xtreme.io or anything else. This is fresh and new. Why don't you talk a little bit about that development process and how you've gone from the vision of combining these platforms into executing with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the core PowerStore OS is every line of code built from the ground up, written fresh and new. We were able to really take that clean sheet approach, which said, what do we want this architecture to be? We obviously had nothing in the portfolio, and there's nothing in the market like it that could meet all the requirements of the data challenges people are looking at, but also, just as importantly, being able to bring that automation and simplicity and adaptability. And when we looked to do that, we knew we had to build it from scratch to do it right. So the entire PowerStore OS code all built from scratch. What we were able to do is for some of the data services is take what we had in-house, modernize, containerize it, and actually deploy that. So for example, the file stack we have in PowerStore is based on what we already had with Unity, really developed over years and hardened. Building file systems is very hard. We already had a great one in-house, so we were able to containerize that, and that's the file stack that we have in PowerStore, and it's actually going to become the standard across our primary storage portfolio over time as well. So we were able to do this nice mix of start clean with from the ground up at the core OS, and then take the best IP we had, modernize, containerize it, and leverage that on board as well.
I know one of the things you guys are really excited about is on the data reduction compression side. Your prior arrays, I think you were at a 3-to-1 guaranteed data reduction rate. Here you're at 4-to-1. Talk about that a little bit, because I think as we think about the investments in flash, whether it's Optane at the high end or even all the way down the stack to QLC drives at the low end, there's always the concern on a cost basis about how those compare to a hybrid configuration with disk involved or whatever else. If you need the performance, you need the performance, and you're not going to consider disk. But when we think about 2 terabyte drives immediately becoming capable of 8 terabytes, the math gap closes a little bit. So talk about the data compression and data reduction in general and why that's so important to you here.
Yeah, I didn't know that most of my career would be surrounded around data reduction and deduplication between data domain and then now on the storage side. But You know, it's critical. I mean, I think the most important thing that we all need to remember is data reduction is part science and part reality of what a workload can actually do, right? No matter what, you can only compress some data so much. And it's all about two things when you designed data reduction into a storage array. How much can you compact that? And how do you implement it in a way that it doesn't impact performance? So again, we knew how to do really great data reduction from Xtreme.io. We took those learnings, and that's how we built in the data reduction into PowerStore. And that's how we're able to guarantee 4-to-1. So we built it in a way that's really, really efficient. Probably just as important, or maybe even more important, we've done it in a way by offloading the compression from the CPU that won't impact performance. So we're not going to throttle data reduction to ensure that you meet performance. We've offloaded that compression so we can have always on inline data reduction and still give that performance that people are expecting from an all flash array. So you minimize your footprint, and you also at the same time are going to be able to keep getting that performance. And we know from our install base of VNX and SC series and a lot of different folks out there who have basically no data reduction today, what the dramatic footprint reduction they're going to be able to get just by implementing PowerStore is really going to help increase their overall productivity, reduce their footprint overall, power and cooling. The implications are really just huge simply because of the data reduction that's built in here.
Well, talk a little bit more of the hardware, because you're right, that's a big part of the capabilities of these systems to handle the advanced computational tasks. And you haven't made it any easier on PowerStore by adding AppsOn and some of the other goodness. So obviously you've got NVMe across the front on this, which is great. But what else have you done on the hardware side to make sure that there's enough oomph to be able to handle these tasks?
Yeah, absolutely. So start to the ground level. It's a dual active-active controller pair in each appliance. As you said, end-to-end NVMe, the NVMe over fabric's coming in a future release. We have the NVMe-based drives today, so that's flash drives, or David Tuohy's favorite, the dual-ported Optane drives. And again, those Optane drives are persistent storage. They're not a cache in the system. So I think that's an important distinction. And what we've done with PowerStore is we have 1,000 through 9,000 models. The capacity is actually the same on each one. What varies is the CPU and the memory in each one. So you're going to get a different performance profile out of each system. And what we essentially have 1,000 through 9,000, you have the option to buy it, either bring your own VMware license, obviously buy it from us, or you can buy the appliance with not needing to leverage AppsOn. So you have that flexibility and you have the CPU. And again, because it can scale out, you can start with a PowerStore 1000 and you can scale out with other appliances over time. So you have that flexibility as your business triples overnight, for example, Zoom, then you can quickly increase your capacity without having to think about it.
But can you turn the array into a potato and not know how to undo that during your first Zoom?
We will work on that in a future version. That is in the backlog right now.
The stories of people using Zoom and not knowing how to turn things off once they've put on the backgrounds and stuff is absolutely hilarious. And it's funny because I can't think of the number of Zoom meetings I've done. It must be in the hundreds, and I've never once even contemplated that. But as soon as we put all of the rest of humanity onto Zoom, they're stressing the features of backgrounds and potatoes. It's hilarious.
I fully appreciate it, though. The memes have kept us all going at this point in time. So it's really, really lovely.
What else can we run on but
coffee and memes?
Coffee, red wine, and memes.
I was going to go for bourbon, but that's cool.
Red wine. That works too. That works too. So talk about the scaling, because I know you've mentioned the scale out, scale up a couple times, and that's not inherently common in traditional storage arrays. Why do you see that as that flexibility is something your customers want? Do you want to have it in the event that they ask for it? Or just what led you to that structure?
Yeah, I mean, one of the benefits of the portfolio that we've had is that we know the demand for different types of architecture. So we know there's a good set of customers who really just want a lot of capacity, and the ability to scale up is really all that matters to them. But it's kind of bimodal in that they've got those customers, and then you've also got the ones that really need the flexibility to independently scale out that compute. And we know from all the way from PowerMax, but also with Extreme.io, that ability to scale out is so critical. And when we look at especially the Extreme.io install base, that's where we learned a lot of that, is we had very capacity heavy environments, and then we had ones that really massively scaled out. And that's where we know that we have that demand is high performance, high efficiency, and scale out, but in a really cost-effective package. You know, a lot of the people, unlike yourself, who don't live in storage day to day, don't realize that that's a very rare combination to have in a single offering, is to be able to hit a price point of performance and efficiency. And that's what that ability to scale out does for us. And really, anything that only can scale up is going to hit a limitation. And we didn't want to have any limitations here.
Yeah, it's interesting. Certainly, you had both in the portfolio before, but to be able to pull those together into a single product, I think, is really interesting. So, you know, you guys talked a lot about all these capabilities, and that's great, and being dynamic and all that sort of thing. This is probably not the first release from you, but it's one of the, well, maybe it is the first release where the billion IOPS wasn't the lead number. So it feels like maybe the industry is transitioning away from that. And I do hear, I even had a conversation earlier this week with someone where the issue isn't that the storage isn't fast enough to meet their application needs. It is. And then they find out once they use flash and 25 gig or next gen networking, either faster fiber or Ethernet, that the array was not ever the limitation, or maybe a flash array is not the limitation. Is that what you're up against here, that you've got Optane SSDs, you've got faster interconnects, you've got a fresh optimized code base? What's your take on performance and what your customers want, what you need from a marketing standpoint in terms of that hero number? What's the state of that from you as a marketer?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think, and on the one hand, this thing is a performance beast. We really didn't talk about it a whole lot because for the first time probably ever, we had so much more to talk about. So there's incredible IOPS and latency and great response times. We know that's what our customers need, but that's also what they expect. We didn't need to spend a lot of time talking about that. It's an all-flash array. Of course, it has fantastic performance. It is the best performance of all of our mid-range storage offerings, including Extreme.io. We've benchmarked it across our own and across competitors. We know this thing can scream, but what we also know is that's not what our customers are asking for. There's a few at the tippy top that are looking for more performance, but it's very, very rare. And even with PowerMax, very few people are stressing the performance of what that system can provide. And we've had other offerings over our history that were targeted purely at performance. And it's just not a play. It's not where people are looking for innovation. They're looking for check the box, you can do what my data needs. Now let's talk about how you're going to help me change the way I run my data center, and how are you going to help my business transform? That's where we spent our time and energy on. IOPS are great, and it's a performance system, but there's a lot more that's going on with automation and self-service IT, and really helping have an architecture that's investment protected into the future. That's really where the more of the conversations have been with our customers and where we really focused. And I got to tell you, as a marketer, it's a heck of a lot more fun than just playing a hero number game with performance, because we all know it's a game. So we just decided to have a different conversation here.
Well, yeah, because now you can say, well, I can run apps on mine. Can you do that on yours? And it's not a throughput conversation at that point, is it?
Yeah, and it's purely because exactly what you're saying, performance matters, but only to a point. And we've all pretty much reached that point with all flash arrays, not to mention Optane. Once you get Optane in the picture in NVMe, you know, we're in a whole new ballpark of performance. It's just like, that's table stakes, yes, of course, but let's move on to something else.
And so this is a new platform, but you've already thought a lot about the future of the platform in terms of growing with your customers. I know you're talking a lot about the upgrade program, your future-proof stuff. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? That's one of the, in our article, one of the things we neglected because we kind of ran out of time. but it's a, and it's something that you've offered before, but why don't we talk about that a little bit, about what you mean by future-proof?
Yeah, so there's a couple pieces. So future-proof, again, is our overall program to really provide investment protection. So the data reduction guarantees is part of that 4-to-1 data reduction. Dell Technologies On Demand, the consumption models is all part of that. Probably the most exciting part of future-proof and PowerStore is the new pillar that we introduced, which is our anytime upgrade program. So there's two pieces. You know, forklift has become a four-letter word. I can spell. Just think about it for a second. Yeah, count that out. Yeah, no, don't count the real letters. That's the idea.
Okay.
And what we know is that once folks invest in infrastructure, they want to be able to keep as much of it around as possible, but more importantly, when they upgrade it, that they don't disrupt their business, they don't have to rebuy capacity. So first of all, from a technology standpoint, PowerStore is all non-disruptive upgrades from a hardware standpoint when new controllers come out, and from a software standpoint as we release upgrades to the software code. What's another and really interesting thing that's happened in the past 5 to 10 years is the technology piece is important, but the way that our customers are asking to consume that controller technology is also changed. They're really looking for a controller upgrade program to go with that, so that when we release that new controller technology, they don't have to work with purchasing again to get a new PO to then acquire the new controller. They want to actually have already essentially had a subscription to that controller, to that latest innovation. And that's really what the Anytime Upgrade Program is. It's a service offering that enables you to subscribe in essentially and gives you credits towards that controller. And when we built it, we were really looking to enable customers to do that in a lot more flexible way than any of the other programs in the market. So you can do it within generation to next generation, or you can use that essentially controller credit as a discount to a second appliance and scale out. So it's a lot more flexible. We're allowing customers to do that at any point in that contract after the first 180 days. And most importantly, we're not locking them into a renewal of another 3 years when they do that upgrade. So we've tried to really build this program to really be all about flexibility and taking advantage of that architecture that can be continuously modern.
What I know it's early. What are you guys seeing? Other parts of the portfolio have gone with that sort of credits approach to be able to manage investments. Is that something that you think is going to catch on more broadly through the enterprise, through the data center?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure you're seeing this as well. What we're seeing, especially in the past even couple months, a huge push towards all of the different consumption models, whether it's controller upgrade program specifically or all of the different consumption models we have through Dell Technologies On Demand. There is a pretty heavy push towards consuming infrastructure in a new way, whether that's Flex On Demand and a data center utility model, all of the different offerings that we have in place. There's been a lot more interest, especially from more of our larger customers who are generally the ones pushing the boundaries here, a lot more interest in moving away from CapEx and towards OpEx. I think it's going to probably accelerate in the conditions we're in here now at this point. And it's been something that we expect to continue to see, whether it's just a controller upgrade program or all of their infrastructure investments. They're really looking for different ways to consume that and really help the business evolve of how it's showing up overall on the books. So it's really, we do expect a lot of interest in that, certainly.
With Unity and with some of the other storage appliances, you guys have also done a VSA. I don't know if you've talked much about that yet as a possibility here, or what else you might be doing from a trial program for people that want to check this out. What's the plan there?
Yeah, there's two pieces to that. So we've actually had a pretty significant seed unit program with our channel partners to go with PowerStore. So a lot of channel partners do have PowerStore in hand, so they've been able to get going on that early. As it relates specifically then to a software-defined edition, we have not said a lot, but what we have said is that PowerStore will have a software-defined version in a future release that will be able to be deployed on off-the-shelf servers like PowerEdge. So we weren't releasing any more details on that right now, but that is absolutely our intent as far as a deployment model that we see as an important part of being able to leverage PowerStore in even more flexible ways. And then we have invested heavily in a seed program as well to really help get PowerStore out into the market and quickly ramp.
Okay. And one of the other things you had mentioned, but we sort of skipped past it as a coming soon, is the NVMe over Fabrics. So you're set up for that. You're ready for it. What's your customer base? Not necessarily for PowerStore, but throughout the portfolio, do you see some demand there now? Well, maybe more now that VMware is doing a better job supporting that as part of their stack.
Yeah, I mean, NVMe over Fabric is obviously the last part of the ecosystem is starting to really evolve here. And PowerMax has taught us a lot. So we have NVMe over Fabric for Fibre Channel with PowerMax today. We have not seen a huge demand of adoption yet. That's where we're going to go first with PowerStore as well as over Fibre Channel, logical given our install base. As the IP ecosystem evolves, we're really watching that carefully. We know where we're going to go there, but we haven't released the details on the timing or that yet. But we have been watching that one carefully, and as the ecosystem is ready, we'll be ready to also offer that as well.
All right, cool. So PowerStore, you announced on Tuesday of this week. It's shipping, right?
It has been actually shipping secretly since April
Yeah.
22nd. Yes.
You guys did actually a surprisingly pretty good job of keeping that quiet. Normally, a channel partner will slip something out about these things, but that one was pretty quiet. Well done.
Well, there's a few, you just didn't see them, so we got away with
Oh, good. So it was my fault then. I like that. All
No,
right, well,
we were pretty happy with it. It was kept under wraps pretty well.
I'll put our watchdogs on full alert for the next one. All right. Well, this is a cool release. We're excited to see it and learn more about it. And appreciate you taking the time today to walk through in pretty good detail about what you've got going on here. Thanks for joining the podcast today, Caitlin.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian. It's good to see you, even though we are not in Vegas as we were supposed
Yeah, sad about that. All right, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you want to drop us a note, hit us at info@storagereview.com. See what we were doing over on the Storage Review subreddit /r/storagereview. We're well up over 3,000 members there and having a lot of great conversations, including a lot of talk about the PowerStore array. So participate in that. Would love to hear you, your thoughts, and check out the YouTube channel and everything else we've got going on. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.